Hey there, welcome to Following the Truth. I'm Gary Zimek, so glad to have you along with me today, September the 9th. It's a Wednesday. We're going to talk on today's program about the fact that the things of this earth, the things of this life, are passing away. Now, that sounds pretty depressing, doesn't it? But actually, that's a good message. At least that's my goal. This came out of the first reading from today's Daily Mass, something St. Paul said in his letter, his first letter to the Corinthians, about the things of this life are passing away. I believe that for many of us, what causes us the most grief are these earthly problems, things that will be gone at some point in time. They're either going to be gone in this life or they will be gone when we die. But yet, for some reason, we can't break loose from the weight of these problems. And I'm not just talking about solving them, working through them, the appliance repairs, the car issues, the traffic, so many things disturb our peace. Even the unexpected illness, you know, the serious illness. I mean, certainly that can really disturb our peace. But if we can somehow, and I believe this is possible, I don't believe it's easy, but I believe it's possible, if we can somehow retrain ourselves, and it really does require that, retrain ourselves to recognize the temporary nature of these problems, and to also recognize at the same time the permanence of life, eternal life in heaven, right? Then we will be a lot more peaceful. And that's going to take, that's a joint effort between us and the Holy Spirit. But I want to look at that. I want to look at what St. Paul said in his first reading. It's a tough reading. It's a confusing reading, but this particular reading chosen for today's Mass ends with a really powerful reminder that this world is passing away. This is a temporary life right now, a temporary stop-off, maybe that's a better way to put it, on earth. We are created to be eternal. We're going to live forever. But we're not going to live on this planet forever. And then I think what I'd like to do is look at the gospel from today's Mass, which highlights some of the blessings that we receive in this life, but we wouldn't consider them blessings. Again, it's that eternal versus earthly perspective. How do we keep one eye on heaven while at the same time being bombarded with problems? We'll talk about that today. I'm glad to have you with me again. It's Wednesday, September the 9th. I hope your day is going well. I'm having a pretty good day. I'm a little tired today for whatever reason. I got up early this morning. Well, I got up the usual time. But you ever notice that, I don't know if this happens with you, a lot of times I wake up without the alarm clock. My body's trained to get up at a certain time, which is good. I like that. I get up early. But today the alarm clock woke me and I was in the middle of a dream. You know how that happens? It's just, for some reason, I was groggy. I got up. I did the Sunrise Morning Show on EWTN this morning. It went well. But I just have been groggy ever since, and it's kind of an overcast day. So that's how I feel. I'm going to try to stay awake for you today. How do you like that? That's how much I care about you. I'm going to stay awake. But, you know, I'm going to get invigorated once I start doing this show. At any rate, I hope you are doing well. And I hope you're ready to settle in and talk a little bit about Jesus and heaven. I think as Catholics, and I understand that not everybody who listens to this program is Catholic. I think, though, as a Catholic myself, I think we sometimes do a very poor job, and I say we, meaning all of us, or we are just not used to getting excited about heaven. And there are a lot of reasons for that, but I think we need to get more excited about eternal life in heaven and the victory won by Jesus for us on the cross. I mean, he died for our sins. So there's a place in heaven reserved for you and me. Now, can we mess it up? Yes, we believe that we can, as our church teaches, that we can mess it up, that we can possibly forfeit our inheritance and not make it to heaven. But as you've heard me say many times, Getting to heaven is not that complex. All I need to do is obey God when I mess up, say I'm sorry, take the appropriate action, which in the case of those of us who are Catholic, it involves going to confession. If you have a mortal sin, in other words, one of these very serious sins, and there are certain conditions required for mortal sin to be met, but ask for forgiveness. And if you have a sincere heart and you sincerely desire to repent, then your sins are forgiven and you move on. So it shouldn't be that much of a mystery. And you know, I know it's hard because sometimes we can get lax. And I don't want to sound like it's too automatic, because it's not automatic that we will make it to heaven. But if we sincerely try to follow God, we are going to get there. He's not out to get us. He's not trying to trick us. On the other hand, Satan is trying to trick us. Satan's trying to trick us and make us fear God, fear that we're not going to get to heaven, because that disturbs our peace. But God doesn't want that. God wants us to be at peace. God wants us to go to heaven. He gives us every opportunity to accept his mercy. We just got to do it. We just got to do the right thing. So all in all, it's not that complex to get to heaven. And I think we should get very excited about what lies ahead for us. And, you know, I'm going to do my part to make that happen. So that's what we're going to talk about on the program today. Hey, why don't we pray and then we can get started. Sound good? All right. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father in heaven, we now recognize, as we begin this prayer, that we are in your presence, that you are with us. We didn't have to conjure you up, or we didn't have to go put in a text or to tell you to appear or to call you up. I mean, you're here. You always were here. But now we recognize that we are in your presence. And we turn to you, and we recognize also your power, the fact that you created the entire universe out of nothing. Father, nothing can stop your will from happening. With you, all things are possible. So, Father, we turn to you and we ask you to guide our thoughts this day through your Holy Spirit. Guide our thoughts so that we may be able to recognize that you are always with us. Please change our desires so that we desire you and heaven above all things. And that, like Jesus, we will strive with the help of your grace. Unlike Jesus, we need the grace to do your will at all times. Father, please bless us, bless our families. We pray for a rapid end to the coronavirus. We pray for relief from anybody who is affected in any way by COVID-19. And that could be physical, spiritual, emotional, or financial. We pray, Father, for all of our needs. We give them to you. We ask you to help us to answer our prayers in the best way possible. We pray for our friends, our families, for anybody who's asked for our prayers. And finally, Father, on this program, I pray that you will give me the words, the message that you would like me to speak. Please let me stick to the script. I ask you to guide me through your Spirit. And please open all of our minds and our hearts so that we could be receptive to your message, to be able to hear it, and to put it into practice. And Father God, we ask these things in the most holy name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, well, thank you for praying with me. I'm Gary Zimek. And I would like to, if you're interested, if you want to find out more about my work, I would like to send you to my website, which is followingthetruth.com. You go over there and you find out everything that's going on in about yours truly, or at least everything that you need to know. And you can also sign up for my daily email devotional or pre-order my new book, Let Go of Anger and Stress. The book's going to be out in probably just about a week. It is in the publisher's warehouse, so it's ready to go. So as soon as if you have pre-ordered it, you are going to get it very soon. I think the way it works, if you ordered it through Amazon, the publisher has to send the books to Amazon, but it's not going to take long at all. Once it gets into the warehouse of the publisher, then you're going to be all set. You will be getting the book. So we're going to talk more about the book. The book is a Holy Spirit book. It illustrates the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's something that I really have wanted to talk about. I've wanted to write this book for a long time, so I'm really excited about it. You'll hear more about it in the weeks to come. But right now, I want to look at this idea of the world as we know it is passing away. Now, look, this is not a message to freak you out. It's not a message to get you scared. It's not a message to say the world's coming to an end. It's a message to remind you that we're only here on this earth for a short while. And I think we can be scared about that message sometimes, because the fear of the unknown, what happens after life on earth, can be a little frightening. What's the antidote? The antidote is to get to know Jesus better. Let him introduce you to the Father. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, you begin to desire that relationship with him more and more. You begin to find yourself, as St. Paul has written, less attached to the world, this world, and more attached to the invisible kingdom of God, which is a good place to be, because then that transition becomes more appealing. Like, you know, you're ready. You're ready to, when the time comes, you are ready to move on to your eternal reward. And that's really, that's a good place to be. And I think if you're having a bad day, and we all have them, and you're struggling with problems here, I think it's a very pleasant thought to think of what lies ahead in the next world. That idea of total happiness, that idea of life without burdens. That sounds great to me, and I hope it does to you as well. Let me get right to this first reading, because I said it's tricky. So let's read it, let's talk about it, and then with that very last verse, the very last portion of this passage from today's Mass, we'll kind of use that as our point of departure. We're going to talk about the world passing away. So anyway, we're looking at 1 Corinthians, the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 7, beginning in verse 25. Brothers and sisters, in regard to virgins, I have no commandment from the Lord, but I give my opinion as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. So this is what I think best because of the present distress, that it is a good thing for a person to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek a separation. Are you free of a wife? Then do not look for a wife. If you marry, however, you do not sin, nor does an unmarried woman sin if she marries. But such people will experience affliction in their earthly life, and I would like to spare you that. Now, I'm not going to get into the ins and outs of this, but where St. Paul is leading for us is that this world is temporary. And he is trying to make sure that the people of Corinth are not losing their focus. That's what he's doing here. I tell you, brothers, the time is running out. From now on, let those having wives act as not having them. Those weeping as not weeping. Those rejoicing as not rejoicing. Those buying as not owning, those using the world as not using it fully. And again, you start to hear these words, and it's somewhat troublesome, isn't it? You think like, wow, what's he saying? Is he saying marriage is bad? No, the church teaches marriage is good. But if we get to the point where we put our spouse or another person ahead of God, then that is a problem. That is a problem. Normally that doesn't happen. But we can make idols out of people, out of things. We can do it. And Paul is trying to say to the people, you need to focus on the fact that this life is temporary. So, and you know, it happens. People get into relationships and they end up, because of the relationship, doing things that they shouldn't do. Oh, it's okay if I don't go to church because my wife and I need to get away. Or even though the church doesn't recognize this marriage as being valid, we love each other, so we're going to do what we want. You know, once you start putting a person ahead of God, and there are ways that we can do that, then your priorities are in the wrong order. I mean, that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. Now, St. Paul ends, this particular reading ends with 1 Corinthians 7:31. St. Paul's words, for the world in its present form is passing away. Anything in this life, person, thing, any honor, any reward, any goal that we place ahead of God in importance, meaning that your relationship with God suffers because of this person or thing, that is an idol. And we really should recognize that it is an idol because it's ahead of God and make things right again. In other words, put God first. So he wants us, he wants the people of Corinth, he wants us too, to remember that. That the invisible kingdom of God is more important than the visible world in which we live. And as long as there's no conflict, we're fine. It's okay to have things. It's okay to have relationships. It's a good thing. But when we put them ahead of God, or the attachment to this person or thing causes us to move further from God, that's a problem and we're wrong and we should make a correction. The things of this world are passing away. We need to keep that in mind. And let me read the gospel too, because the gospel, I think, it fits in nicely with this idea that the kingdom of God, we can't see it, but it's more important than what we can see. Luke chapter 6, verses 20 through 26. Raising his eyes toward his disciples, Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours." Now, this is another variation of the Beatitudes. Many of us are familiar with the version that is contained in Matthew's gospel during the Sermon on the Mount. This is another version by St. Luke with a similar message. "Blessed are you who are now hungry, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who are now weeping, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude and insult you and denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man." See, this is the Jesus is putting forth this idea that sometimes there is a conflict between the things of the world and the things of the kingdom. And sometimes when we follow Jesus in life and pursue the kingdom as number one in our life, we will run into opposition. We will have to suffer in some way, because our reward is not completely found in this life. And pursuing the kingdom, right, the kingdom, means delaying our reward. We don't receive our full reward for following God in this life. We're going to get it in the next life. And that becomes challenging, because the attractions of the world, they look pretty good. Give me lots of money, because then I don't have to worry. I want lots of good food. I don't ever want to eat anything that I don't like. I just want the best of everything. It's really easy to fall into that. And then what happens as a result? You become really self-centered. And you can forget about God, because you're always looking for that pleasure. You can't serve God and serve yourself. You know, you can't serve other people and serve yourself. It's got to be one or the other. You can't love money and love God. That's biblical. You can have money and love God, but you can't love money and love God at the same time. That's what Jesus said. All right, behold, your reward will be great in heaven. See that looking forward to the reward in heaven. We don't have it necessarily here. Heaven begins here. You can have a relationship with God here and be at peace, be filled with the fruits of the Spirit. That can happen. But your full reward, you're not going to find it here. "For their ancestors treated the prophets in the same way. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. But woe to you who are filled now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for their ancestors treated the false prophets this way." Obviously, Jesus is not saying we can't laugh. We can't have money or possessions. He's not saying that, but what he's saying is that we're accountable for what we do with what has been given to us. You know, the richest person in the world is only rich because of the goodness of God. And for a person to have a lot of money means that person has a lot of responsibility. because there are people starving in the world, and somebody with a lot of money can help that those people who are starving. And really, all of us have this, a responsibility to take care of those who are less fortunate than us. And that doesn't mean you give away your rent money, but it means that you look at the things, the excess expenditures that you have. You know, this is something I have to do, that I try to do. It's painful at times, but that's what we're called to do. If I like to eat at McDonald's every day, and I really do like McDonald's, by the way, and I do that because, and it could get a lot worse than McDonald's. I mean, that's relatively cheap, but you can spend a lot of money on yourself. But I think what Jesus is calling us all to remember is that there are people starving in the world, in the country, probably in your city. So you are getting exactly what you want. And look, I'm not, you know, I'm not saying to you specifically you, but I'm just putting out there using the general form of you. We all have to consider if going to the convenience store and getting that cup of coffee every day, if that money could be better put to use giving it to somebody who doesn't have food, you know, giving it to a charity to help somebody who is starving. And that's where the responsibility or good stewardship comes in. Because all money is a gift from God. Even if you earned it, you only earned it because you have talent. God gave you the gifts, the abilities, the talents to earn money. And then what you do with that is something that you really should discuss with God. And look, I'm not going to tell you the formula because I don't know the formula. That's something between you and Him. It's something that I wrestle with, that I do struggle with. I don't always get it right, I don't think. I'm trying. It's something I'm trying to work at because I do like to be comfortable. I live a modest lifestyle because of by virtue of what I do, being involved as a Catholic speaker and an author, especially at a time when there's no speaking work to be found. It requires me and my family to live modestly. I mean, really modestly. We have to do it. But even still, I look and say, when I'm spending money, is this money well spent? Is this the way God wants me to use my money? You don't want to be neurotic about it, but it is a decision that we have to make. Am I focusing on the kingdom and pleasing God, or am I focused on the quick fix and feeling good? Because I'm one of those guys who enjoys that kind of stuff. I like going out. If I could, I would get some sort of takeout every day. I mean, I'm not going to do it because I would realize it's not healthy for me either. But I used to really enjoy it. When in my younger days, I would enjoy eating my lunch out. I didn't want to bring a lunch. It was just kind of a little bit of a pick-me-up for me every day. I like that. But I thought of myself all the time. And again, I'm not telling you you're wrong to eat out. I'm just telling you that there is a responsibility we have to be good stewards of our money and to keep one eye on heaven and realize there's a bigger picture than the things of this world. If you are having a rough day, if you're worried about something and your solution is to go shopping or to go buy something for yourself or to go out and get some junk food, there might be nothing wrong with that, but if you didn't turn to God first and pray about it, there is something wrong with that because that thing has become your idol. And I know this because this is the way I lived for a number of years, and that desire is still there. You know, if I have a bad day, like, oh, maybe if I buy something, I'll feel good. But then I realize I got to bring this to God, and I got to pray about it, and I have to ask for help and turn to Him. And then, you know, sometimes it is okay. We're material creatures. We have a body and a soul. So a nice treat every now and then, it's okay. But if it's the only thing you do and you never turn to God, then it becomes a problem. You get what I'm saying? So the things of this world are passing away. Don't get too bent out of shape about the problems you are facing right now, because they are temporary. And also don't seek your pleasure, your security, your comfort in the things of the world, because they could be gone tomorrow. None of us saw this COVID thing coming. And a lot of people didn't have savings. And a lot of people didn't expect to struggle so much to find work. I didn't expect to have all my speaking work canceled. So we just never know. Put your faith in God. Keep Him first in your life. And then everything will work out. How do you do that? You keep in touch with Him. You keep talking to Him every day. And ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. Bring your decisions to the Lord. I've got some financial decisions coming up, and I've already started to pray about them. In the past, I didn't do it at all. Didn't even think about it. It's my money. What does God care about money? God does care about money. So just as long as you bring things to Him, that's good. That's what He wants you to do. But the things of this world are passing away. So people give you a hard time. Your coworkers are tough on you. You find it hard to be a Christian. Take comfort in the fact that you are identifying with Jesus. You're becoming closer to Him. And that's the message contained in the Beatitudes. All right. I'm looking at the clock on the wall, and that's something that I have to deal with right now, meaning that this show is just about finished. God willing, I plan to be back with you here tomorrow on Following the Truth. I hope you will be able to join me. In the meantime, if you can, if you want to find out about my work, just visit followingthetruth.com. If you have any questions, comments, whatnot, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. If you're able to make a donation to my ministry, you can do that at followingthetruth.com, and that would be greatly appreciated. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks for all that you do to make this program a joy for me, and I absolutely love doing the show. So thanks a lot for everything. God bless you. I'm going to be praying for you. Remember, don't panic about the problems you are facing right now. They really are temporary. The key is we want to make sure that we make it to heaven, because that's going to last forever. Have a wonderful day. God bless you. Talk to you next time.